We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we are focusing on Rutherford County and a very sad, you look like you've lost your best friend this morning.
I've lost a very, very dear friend, not just to me, but to the whole county. Not yet, but the end is very near.
Oh, man, this is going to be a sad show, I can tell you.
We're kind of tongue-in-cheek in this, but was standing out there.
We're talking about the tree in front of the courthouse.
Sycamore tree.
This is our county mayor, Joe Carr, with us. And you've actually been watching what's happening.
Yeah.
That has to be hard.
It is. And so it's hard, not for me just personally. I mean, my farm, I think the listeners know that we talk about my bees, and I plant about 100 trees every year, and I got a sawmill, and these are hobbies of mine. So I love being outside, and I love being a steward of the resources that God has given us, and he's just blessed us so much in this county, Barton. You and I have talked about that. It's easy to talk about. Well, one of the blessings he gave this county was, and I'm going to tell the story if you don't mind, the Alfred Miller family had a farm on the middle fork of Stones River, down there around where Riverdale High School is, or back across 231 on the east side toward the golf course. But anyway, back before the Civil War, he owned that property. And Alfred Miller is the ancestor, as I've been told, of Eddie Miller. And Eddie Miller of Miller and Lowry Insurance here in Rutherford County. The family has been in this county for a very, very long time, 200 years. In any event, Alfred Miller brought 4 sycamore trees up to the courthouse square, and he planted one on each corner of the square. Well, the last sycamore to live, the Civil War, all of that, is the sycamore on the southeast corner, which is this corner. If you're going out East Main, it's that corner. It's that corner there to your left as you turn right down East Main off the square. Anyway, so this tree's what we calculated was planted in 1848 as a sapling. So the tree is, probably somebody do the math, 170, 180 years old. And and last year we spent a lot of money trying to save the tree because it's old. And it's not suited for an urban environment, but it's old, and everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so last year we were trying to prolong the life of this tree, give it a few more years, because it's such a part of the courthouse square. And this last winter we got, as you know, we got down below 10 degrees below zero, really hard winter. And I worried about the tree then, but it looked like it really knocked back this old man. And knocked him back pretty good, because now we got a public safety issues. The branches are rotting, and we've had one large branch fall. Thank heavens it didn't fall while somebody was up there, but it left a very sizable divot in the turf of the grass. And if it could have killed somebody if it hit somebody in the head. Certainly injured them very badly. So we just can't accept that kind of risk. So I made arrangements to trim the tree back, the old growth, and as we're starting to trim it back to prolong its life, we're finding out that more and more of the tree has decayed and is rotten. And so what we're getting in life up there is just the last vestiges of its lifespan. So we started trimming it back yesterday, and we'll probably, no, not probably, we're going to take the rest of the tree down late this fall.
So it will last at least through late fall.
Yes, sir. It's a strategic reason. Number one, it's going to take them a while to remove that large tree. So we need to do it in a time where people aren't around the square as much. It's a public safety issue. Number two, one of the things that we did, so that's the sad part. The good part to this story is I told, being a avid tree fan, and I plant saplings and bare root, and I grow them from nut and all this kind of, I'm interested in grafting. I asked Jack Carter, our landscaper, I said, can we graft one of those or new shoots off the tree and create a new genetically identical sycamore tree from that tree, from identically from that tree. So they have pulled several grafts that or several saplings off, suckers off that tree, so that we can graft that and have a genetically identical tree. And my hope is we'll plant something there temporarily, but in 10 or 12 years, we'll remove that tree and then plant back one of those genetically identical sycamores there at that location on the square. So genetically, that tree will live on.
Now, let me ask you this, because you said something I have not heard. I think you said it. And that was, of the four original trees that were planted, that this sycamore is the last one living.
That's correct. It's the
so
last one.
So the other three died.
The other three are gone. Now, and you got to remember, during the Civil War, they were cutting down trees left and right for firewood and shelter. And so if you look at photos, you can see the area around Murfreesboro is barren. I mean, it's almost devoid of any vegetation or any large vegetation. And the reason is they cut it down for firewood and for building materials. And so I'm not surprised that those three trees didn't make it through, especially the Reconstruction era, when things were particularly bad economically in the South, as we all know. So the fact that that one tree survived is very, very remarkable. But it's the last surviving of the first four.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that you would be creating four trees.
We hope to create that many trees. We hope to create several. And the reason why is, you know, we're not sure the grafts are going to take. We're not sure, you know, what percentage we're going to have. So we right now, our focus is to get at least one. That's our focus. And anything above that would be great. And that's the plan, is to.
So the goal is not to replace the other three with a tree that was actually.
That would be a wonderful thing to do, because what's on the west side of the square, Bart, you can tell I've looked into this, those are called American lindens, and they're typically native to higher elevation, a little more loamy, rocky soil, not the heavy clay soils we have here in Rutherford County.
So they're not even appropriate.
They're not appropriate. And they're beautiful trees. And by the way, I love them because they produce an incredible amount of nectar, which makes a delicious honey for your listeners, by the way. Cedar Snag Farm honey, I might add. But anyway, but they're wonderful trees, but you see them more east Tennessee than you do here. But the original trees there were four sycamores. And so as trees start to pass away, if we had these sycamores that we could replace that tree with, that would be a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
To return it back to the way it was when Alfred Miller in 1848 brought four saplings off the Middle Fork of the Stones River up to the public square.
Can you imagine what that tree has seen, heard, and experienced?
Bart, I have talked to Greg Tucker. I've talked to Eddie Miller. I've talked to Dr. West. I've talked to Dr. John Lowell. I've talked to all these people, and they all share the same story and passion for this tree, not because it's a tree. I mean, I get a tree is a tree. But the memories associated with that tree, that is what's so important, and the stories that it could tell, and I would love to read the book of all the things that tree witnessed.
It has seen those famous weddings on the square. It has seen the attacks on the square. It's seen the loading of cotton from mules.
Yeah, for a short period of time, it saw the slave marketplace on the square. It saw Douglas MacArthur on.
The Japanese submarine.
Yeah, the Douglas MacArthur on the square, and so
the tornado. Felt that
exactly. The whole thing with Reconstruction, all of that period. General Forrest riding down East Main to take back the square. I mean, all of that. Nathan Bedford Forrest attack on the square. So that the stories that tree could tell are amazing.
Was it here when the courthouse burned? You remember the courthouse burned?
I wasn't alive then, Bart, like you. So your memory, you remembering the courthouse burning is, I think we need to take pause and just realize just how old, maybe
an old,
old
tree.
You are. But we're not ready to take you down, my friend.
But they took the courthouse, which was the state capitol
yes.
at that time, and they took it over to the Methodist, not Methodist, but the Presbyterian Church, and created it.
I didn't know this.
Which was where the city, the old city cemetery is.
Talking to Eddie Miller and Greg Tucker and those who've researched this. And by the way, Eddie's son Elam, who works for him, is an avid historian, I found out, and so I'm excited about him being involved in this. But anyway, they were telling me that if the tree came up as a sapling in 1848. That mean it was a seedling probably, you know, 2 or 3, 4 years prior to that. And so basically, I wouldn't imagine the sapling was more than 2 or 3 years old. So the tree probably dates to about 1845.
Okay. So that hopefully will be around. And you have professionals working on
yes.
it right now.
Yeah, this isn't Joe's amateur hour. We've hired people who know how to do this, because the focus is, and I'm very confident we're going to get one tree. Now we want to get how many more can we get that are genetically identical to that sycamore. So it's kind of exciting that you get to do stuff like this, Bart. You know what I mean?
It really is.
You get to think beyond the end of your nose. And so many times government gets wrapped up in the details of the process, and nobody thinks process is more important than I do. But sometimes, you know, as a county government, we failed to see the forest because of the trees, and we're so focused on the bark that we don't understand the beauty of the forest. And making mistakes is part kind of what we do sometimes when we're trying to try real hard. But at the end of the day, saving this tree and then propagating it for future generations is a great example of the vision the county can have for its community.
By the way, if you have any questions that you would like to ask about the tree or anything associated with Rutherford County, the number to text, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. Let's talk. And once again, you said that tree will be there until early fall, sometime in fall.
Late fall.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to wait till a hard freeze so all the sap can come down, and then we'll take it down. We'll grind the stump. We are going to retain as much of the lumber as possible. We've gotten a lot of, say, well, what are you doing with the logs? Unless the log is just horribly rotten, we are saving the lumber for the purpose of when we hopefully open up our cultural arts and history museum on the square later on, those pieces of wood will be a part of telling the story of Rutherford County.
Oh,
so we're going to retain, we're going to keep all that lumber. So I know we get asked, like, well, can I have some of the lumber? Can I take it? No, you can't. We're preserving all that unless it's just rotten beyond salvageable. Now, if you want some rotten lumber, you're welcome to that. So
now, will you have an official taking down ceremony day or anything?
Oh, Bart, I don't know that I want to do that. I mean, you know what?
That would be sad.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
This is such a special.
The county has spent a lot of time and effort and money without one regret. I don't regret the money we spent trying to save that tree. I mean, we probably spent $10,000 last year in fertilizer and aeration. I mean, we went at it. We said, we're going to do this. And that hard winter that we got down to 10 below zero, the old man just never recovered. And I'm not sure I can celebrate the taking down of the tree, if you want to know the truth, Bart.
Well, maybe that's not the right wording. Commemorating its history and all that it has meant.
Well, you know what? Maybe we do something like that. You've given me an idea. Maybe we have Eddie Miller and the Miller family and say something.
Yeah.
And we have Greg Tucker talk about the history of the tree and Dr. Van West. And maybe we just have a small outdoor thing saying, you know, let's talk about what this tree represents to the community. It's not that it's a tree. It's all that tree has endured and all that tree has been seen and been a part of. And that is so much like all of us who have been here any period of time, whether you've been here 10 years or 10 generations, that tree represents, one of my favorite Bible verses is Ephesians chapter 6:13. And that verse is talking about the armor of God. And I'm not going to get preachy, but it reminds me of this tree. and that is in our values and our principles. And it's this. It's 6:13 says, stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand, then stand firm. So after you stand on what you believe, know what you believe, know why you believe it, articulate it, and stand your ground, stand your faith. And then after you've been assailed and attacked and assaulted, then stand firm. And that tree has stood firm all these years. And that tree represents so much of what this county is about, the good things in this county. And it's weathered and beaten, and it's rotten, and it's at the end of its life. But its legacy will continue, not just in its genetically identical offspring, but in the memories that all of us share around that tree. I'm kind of getting melodramatic over here, but I'm just kind of like, that tree means a lot.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm thinking back. Was it Bob Hope who did the song "Thanks for the Memory"?
Yes,
fits. It fits
that is outstanding. Thanks for the memories, and that's what that tree is. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for being there, standing firm against everything that has assailed this county. What that tree represents is a deep root into an understanding of who it is, what its values are, and how that reflects on the community. So that tree is symbolic of this community.
Oh, definitely.
More than anything I can think of.
Let's change directions just a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that. Before I get all soupy over here, right?
Let's talk about the transfer station, the waste management contract. What's going on?
So last night, that has been a bit of a little kerfuffle, made magnified unnecessarily by one particular county commissioner. But that's okay. I mean, that's politics. And Bart, we're in the political season where everybody's going to take a side. And if you don't take a side, you're going to be demonized anyway. So, and that's the national political climate. That is our state political climate, as evidenced by the shenanigans in the General Assembly last session. And it's unfortunately, it's kind of filtered down to a county government where politics and personalities and pride mean more than policy, principle, and those kind of things. And so it's just a cycle we're in. And so just real quick, the purchasing committee last night rescinded a previous vote that they had 4-3 and decided to reconsider the RFP proposal from Waste Management and the subsequent contract, and they sent that on to Public Works Committee for them to review and advise the Purchasing Committee. So that's kind of where we're at.
So it has not been canceled?
Oh, no, it hadn't been canceled. Now, it had at one time, but that was what the vote did last night. It rescinded that cancel vote that you're referring to and said, we want to start over. And I called the comptroller's office to make sure what we were doing was correct, because there were some people on the county commission who were demanding an investigation. And I thought, you know what? I think that's a good idea. So I called the comptroller's office, and essentially they just said, listen, just get the thing back on the tracks. You contacted the vendor very, very quickly. Reinstituted or started the process back where you left off. And so no big deal. Just make sure you keep your records. So
what when you contacted the vendor, Waste Management, mm-hmm. what did they say? Obviously they were concerned.
Yeah. So there are some who are getting really upset about the process, because I signed the contract prior to the purchasing committee approving the contract, which was just, it was an oversight on my part. There was nothing nefarious about it, as some would like to allege, but it was a mistake that we made. And quite honestly, I do make mistakes contrary to popular opinion, and I make them sometimes rather frequently, but I always admit them and try to correct them when possible. So I made the mistake of signing the contract prematurely before the approval of the purchasing committee. And then the purchasing committee decided that in a 4-2 vote that they would reject the RFP and the contract from provided by Waste Management. I did tell Waste Management that the contract I signed was not binding, because the private act of Rutherford County specifically stipulates that we that I have approval from the purchasing committee before I'm authorized to sign a contract. So, in fact, the contract that I signed wasn't even binding. So it's just about, it's just starting over from where we left off. So that's what we did last night.
So you feel it's going to continue as had been planned?
That is my hope. I will tell you this. This is a very simple issue, Bart. The issue is, does Rutherford County continue to take trash from Davidson County by extending the life of Middle Point Landfill for another 30 to 50 years, or does Rutherford County say no to no more Nashville-Davidson County trash and not offer the extension to Middle Point Public Services to extend the life of that landfill in 30 to 50 years, and we do something different that allows Rutherford County to be solid waste independent from Middle Point Landfill. And I am fighting with everything in me to make sure that Rutherford County no longer has the millstone around its neck of taking trash from Nashville-Davidson County.
So it's either no or yes.
In my opinion, there's no middle ground, because what Republic wants is they want the V. That is the valley between our old landfill and their Middle Point Landfill. By buying that valley from the county, by acquiring that valley, they literally can extend the life of Middle Point Landfill, in their estimation, by 30 to 50 years.
So now, the valley they would be able to bring up to the height, the elevation of the current landfill.
That's exactly right. They would fill in the valley with trash, which would no longer be a valley.
And that is closer to the river, is it, or is it?
No, it's all within the same proximity of the river. Yeah, it's not any closer or further away.
Okay. So those are the two choices.
That's the two choices. Do you want a contract with Waste Management to take our trash to Cedar Ridge, which is in Marshall County, or do you want to continue to have Nashville-Davidson County, after the landfill closes, or in 2 years, to give Nashville-Davidson County the right to continue to bring their trash here? That's the decision, and that's the decision we're trying to make. And some are making a mountain out of a molehill by continuing talking about process, when attorneys and comptroller all have said, look, this is no big deal. You can get this back on the rails. Indeed, the county commission has done this before. In 2021, my predecessor was given an audit finding for not purchasing something appropriately through the purchasing committee, and the commission had to pass a resolution in January of 2022, basically because the comptroller issued a finding. That, you know, my predecessor made a mistake. It was nothing nefarious, but this isn't anything like that. And so what we have is the county commission splitting hairs. And my advice to some of them would be, you know, take the plank out of your own eye before you start taking the speck out of my eye. So
here's a question from a listener. They're asking, what would be the best for our taxpayers' dollars to let us use that additional land locally, put our garbage in there, whether or not BFI maintains it or not? But let's say, assuming you extend the contract for BFI or Republic, same company, and or would we be better off and save more if we took the garbage to Lewisburg, is it?
So you got to remember, there's 460,000 tons of trash produced in Rutherford County, solid waste. That's commercial demolition and household trash. So 460,000 tons, that's the total amount of trash. 20% of that trash, or about 90,000 tons, leaves the county. It goes somewhere else to be deposited.
Already,
right now. 90,000. So we're now down to 370,000 tons. Of that 370,000 tons remaining, only about 60,000 tons is from the county, is not tipped. So the only trash that's not tipped, that doesn't get a tipping fee at the landfill, is trash that comes from our convenience centers and trash that comes from our schools. That's it. Now, Murfreesboro also gets free tipping if they truck it out there, but I don't know what their volumes are. But if you subtract 60,000 from the 370, we still have over 300,000 tons of trash every year that Rutherford County needs to remove from the streets. So how do we do that? We do that through what's called independence. There are these independent curbside trash collectors. And quite honestly, a lot of that is C&D through the manufacturers. So there's an opportunity for those independents who are paying $130, $140, $150 a ton at Middle Point to pay Rutherford County maybe $120 a ton and us pay for our transfer station. So it would be much more economically feasible for us to control our own destiny and be solid waste independent.
Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. Then we will continue the conversation. We're looking at all sorts of changes here in Rutherford County. And our guest this morning, our county mayor, Joe Carr. Stay with us. Much more to come as we sort of learn more about the tree, the things that are making our community what it really is, a wonderful place to live. Our phone number, if you want to join us, 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. If you find yourself feeling stressed, come enjoy the benefits of fish in our tranquil aquatics department. Studies have proven that watching aquarium fish can reduce stress and lower blood pressure. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We started doing a limited time only menu, so once a month, we add new menu items to it for 1 month only. The meatloaf, which is one of our more popular ones at Demas's Restaurant. We brought a salmon with a roasted pecan sauce on it. We have potato skins. We've had a wedge salad. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Good morning. Just about through with this crash, 65 southbound at Dickerson Pike. As you come down through Madison, it's pretty heavy in that area, all the way down to Trinity Lane as that traffic cranks up even more up through Franklin, Brentwood, 65 going northbound up through Williamson County. Still some volume coming in right now on 40 westbound out of Murfreesboro, heading into Antioch. I still see slow traffic 24 east in Coffee County around the 103 mile marker on the scene of that earlier crash. Hey, whether you need a new roof, roof repair, roof inspection, independent roofing specialist at IRS. Roofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high around 101. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 73. Thursday, a slight chance for storms late. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops a high of 100. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
Looking for a lift kit for your truck or Jeep and need the right experts to install it? Look no further than Tire World. In Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey there, Rutherford County. It's Rick and Bubba, and we are pumped to be on WGNS. Be sure to join us weekdays, noon till 2, right here.
Welcome back. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Joe Carr is with us this morning. We're talking about Rutherford County. We're talking about changes in Rutherford County. And one of the things, obviously, we began the program talking about the sycamore tree in front of the courthouse. If there is good news, the best news is that it's not being taken down this minute. It's just being trimmed severely, but hopefully we'll be there until late fall.
Yeah. You know what? You've given me an idea. I think maybe we do a little ceremony, and it would be great. I want to be careful here, but how many people in Rutherford County have a 2 or 3 minute memory they could share
about
a situation in that tree? So you just jumped out of your chair.
I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't see what I just saw. Bart got air. I'm telling you, the man's got some vertical lift. Dude, he came out of that chair. But what if we did had something like this, Bart? And so we're just now brainstorming. Yeah, listeners, you guys get to help. This is live, okay? What if we did do a ceremony, but instead we talked about all the different marriage proposals that were there, or
oh boy,
or something, or the or marriage ceremonies, or just something that happened. That just a 2 or 3 minute story, and so we had maybe a dozen of those from different people in the community that kind of reflected at least a portion
sure.
of the life of that significant life of that tree, and we recorded that, and I don't
That's
know that
part
I would
of
record
our
taking it down in that ceremony, but prior to taking it down, maybe. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It does.
I'm thinking out loud.
Put that in the archive. I mean, the recordings, the pictures.
Yeah, we
can
absolutely
that is history.
Do that.
That's oral history.
It is.
And that's exciting.
Yeah, and we could at that point talk about our plan to graft genetically identical trees and what the plan is, and how we're going to preserve as much as the wood as possible to go hopefully in our new cultural arts museum here in Rutherford County. I don't know. I'm kind of liking the idea of focusing on memories and how their memory lives on in the new tree that's coming.
Yeah, here's another note. This listener is saying, be sure and remember Uncle Dave Macon Days.
Yeah.
Got it start right there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and the Whittlers.
That's Jesse Messick.
Yes.
And so we
yes.
could get, absolutely, Jesse Messick, and we could get Trent, his son, who's a yeah. very, very good friend of mine, to talk about that. And that's out, let's see, that kind of thing.
Get
like,
it right.
I'm kind of liking this.
This is cool. This is cool. and now, you've touched on the last show you did, you touched on expanding that phenomenal museum downtown, which is in the courthouse now, not taking it out of the courthouse, expanding it, though.
Correct.
Which would be an even bigger draw
right.
for visitors, tourists, and also locals.
Well, we've got to find the county. The mayor has to find a place for, gosh, the 100 and plus employees we have working in the Goldstein building. We have a building and codes over there. We have planning and engineering over there. And then we have the elections. Alan Farley and the elections commission is over there. And so that building never was designed, nor was it suitable for to be a office complex. And it's a part of this county's history. And so Greg Tucker, Dr. West, John Lodell, you know, Pettus Reed, many other, Rutherford County Historical Society. Our focus is getting Rutherford County to find a place to house the employees in the Goldstein building and then renovate the Goldstein building back to an early 1900s, that facade that it has, and then make that our arts, cultural, and history museum for Rutherford County.
Are there pictures of the interior of the original Goldstein?
I'm sure there are. I haven't seen them. And if I had seen them, I didn't recognize or understand what I was looking at. But I'm sure Bill Shacklets.
He probably does.
If anybody's knows of a picture, has a picture of anything, it's the Shacklets. So
I tell you, that was a phenomenal store. I remember going in there, and it was as beautiful, if there could be a beautiful retail store.
Yeah.
It was as nice as Kane Sloan or any.
Yeah.
It was a great store.
It was. And I think those memories, that history invokes those memories, which are perishable if you're not careful. So let's make them
permanent. You need to get with Jeff Jordan. Jeff, you think of Jeff as sports.
I do. That's
but
what
his,
I think of Jeff. Well, Jeff was also my civics teacher in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jeff is a little older than me.
with Jeff's father, he did the artistic decorating in Goldstein.
I did not know
the
that.
The windows and
See,
things of
this
that
is,
sort.
Every time you come on the WGNS, the Good Neighbor Station, you learn something. This is amazing.
So it's but he may even have, he probably has old artwork of ads for clothing from Goldstein's.
I know that when we get to the point where we have found a place for the employees in the Goldstein building that is close to the square, that it was going to be a high priority to make sure that the Goldstein building is renovated properly for a cultural arts museum. That's my hope. Of course, I've got to get the county commission to go along with that, and we find the money, but hopefully they'll understand and appreciate the value of something like that.
Very definitely. So let's hope that does come into fruition. As we look at some other things that are happening here in the community, What is your next area of your challenge that you think we're going to get the waste management? We're going to make the tree last as long as we can, and then we're going to let it have an onerous end?
Yeah, I'm just at this point. I think the summer heat has raised temperatures a little bit within the county, and again, I think that is because everybody's trying the best they can to do the best they can, and sometimes passion erupts into emotion, and then at that point, you know, we all of us cease to be effective. But I think the most paramount issue for the county, Bart, if I can go back, is making sure that our county commissioners respond to what the people want, and they want Middle Point Landfill to close. When it's slated to close in the next couple of years, and we want it to close. We're tired of being the trash can for Nashville-Davidson County. We have a very viable and tax-neutral opportunity to be solid waste independent with this contract with waste management. And it's a good contract. Nick Christensen, the county attorney, and Merrick and Hennessy, my chief of staff, they negotiated for months on this contract. It's been vetted by them. It's solid. And this is an absolutely must step for the county. We cannot afford to take a step backward and shackle ourselves to, if everybody remembers, you know, the odor problems and the trash all over the highways. And I don't have any confidence that if we give them the V, that we won't return to that kind of situation that lasted for years. And it's just time for us to move on with a different solution.
A listener is asking, they said last month on the program you talked about putting the staff that was in Goldstein's in the Lineball Library building and then doing as the library board had suggested, and that's to locate branches in existing buildings that are already out in the community but are not being used. Any word on that?
No, we're kind of waiting. I got to have another conversation with Darren Gore, the Murfreesboro City Manager, and probably Mary Esther Reed, Mayor of Smyrna.
Why would Smyrna be involved?
Because they're part of the Rutherford County Library Board.
Okay.
And this is the Rutherford County Library Board. So Smyrna has
have a full library. They wouldn't be moved.
No, they wouldn't be moved. But this is a board decision, and that city is part of that board structure. So it's a courtesy thing. Do they have a vested interest in what we do and how we do it? Not particularly, unless it, you know, affects them. But at the same time, they're part of the Rutherford County Library System, so they had deserved to be listened to, and that's all I was saying with that. But yeah, I still think it's a good idea to break the library up and move it out into the community, no question about it.
And that has been successful in other areas.
Oh, yeah, it's been successful all over the place. As a matter of fact, it's getting more and more difficult for this library on South Church to be accessible to the majority of the population. And I dare say most people on the other side of the interstate don't even know we have a library on the square, and we can do better. And I think we got to go where the people are to a certain extent. It's not always easy for the people to come to us. Why don't we make ourselves more convenient and more available to the people?
Now, how many additional branches do we need?
Well, what we're talking about doing is moving Lineball out of that main building. And then from that, splitting it in two. So go from one main branch off the square to two satellite branches out in the community.
Okay, so that would give us branches in neighborhoods.
Correct, and it's not unlike the technology branch that we have at Hobgood School. Let's get out in the community, especially in the subdivisions that could use a little development boost. You know, that why not put it there? But at the end of the day, we just need to get it off the square because it's not easily accessible. And that's what a library is supposed to be, is accessible.
Now, while we're talking about being accessible, your fire departments, the county fire departments, I'm seeing them all around now. That's really coming into fruition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In those buildings, you're locating other services.
Right.
I passed the one over in Walter Hill the other day. Really a very, very neat building. How many of these do you have up now?
Let's see. Let me count them. Mayor Ketron and Chairman Pedestrian of Public Safety put this together for the county commission based on some ARPA funding that we got from the federal government from COVID. And the proposal was initially for six, and but because of inflation, we have come down to five. And the five that we've built were Rockvale, Kittrell, Las Casas, and Walter Hill. And then the fifth one is going to be out at Plainview School. And we are just now beginning construction of the fifth one. All the other four are opened and fully manned. They have a full complement of firefighters. They have EMS in there. We also have a public health and safety room in there, facilities. I don't know that it's staffed. Then we also have an office for a sheriff's deputy.
Now, will this be...
These are truly public safety buildings, I mean, in every sense of the word.
Will this be tied in to some way with your proposed forensic center? I know we have a coroner who goes around and needs an office in different areas.
Yeah, so the forensic center is a need because we have a requirement to perform autopsies. And as a county of this size, you typically do one autopsy per 1,000 population show, and that is the NAME standard, and that's the association that creates these standards for autopsies and medical examiners. But my point being is that we're probably doing about 350 to 360 autopsies a year, and right now we send those to Nashville, and that cost of doing that is at a minimum $2,500 an autopsy, not counting transport costs. And so the cost to for autopsies and this kind of thing is over $1 million, and we don't have a facility to do that. And Rutherford County is the largest county by far without a forensic facility. So that is our goal, is to solve that problem.
We're talking about issues that impact us all. Our county mayor, Joe Carr, is our guest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. More people depend on WGNS for local news that matters. We're your local news leader. News Radio WGNS.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here. And so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Jenny Harrison with Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. I want to welcome you into our shop for a variety of different things to see. And if this bright sunshine isn't cheering you up enough, we have some lovely bright and cheery arrangements to help give you an extra boost to your day. This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. If you'd like to lift somebody up, come on over to Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. We're located at 117 South Academy Street, just across the road from East Main Church of Christ. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other rooms. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon, a high around 101. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 73. Thursday, a slight chance for storms late. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops a high of 100. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 70.
We break in with traffic, news, and weather bulletins anytime. Good Neighbor Talk is your 24-7 connection. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Welcome back. We have a few minutes left in our program. We're talking about Rutherford County. Exciting things happening here in the heart of Tennessee. And I tell you, this is a big thing happening. Between the tree, that's exciting. Trying to save this tree. We know we can't save it, but we can preserve its history.
Yeah, that is truly exciting. I know it's a small thing to some, but it's just the memories.
Well, you know,
come on, Bart. We had to get Bob Hope. Thanks for the memories.
We had Bart, trying.
The listeners, you know, we were trying to get that music up so we could share it with you.
It's... I can't make him sing. Bob, please.
Come on, Bob, please. Oh, mercy.
He was here in Rutherford County. He's been to Murfreesboro.
See?
See,
this is what I'm talking about. This is great.
I've got a great story about Bob Hope and the Jackson Motel, the Jackson Restaurant.
That is like awesome. That is awesome.
He was here with his wife and
we know
doing
Elvis
a show.
Presley was here, but did he make it to the square?
Probably.
We know he made it to Murphy Center. I was there. Did he make it to the square?
But the Jackson Heights story, he came in for dinner before his show. And he didn't know anybody there. He just dropped in for dinner, just a regular guy and his wife. And he said, do you have a place I can sit? And she said, the waitress said, well, just a minute, let me see. We have a nice couple back here. And so that you can learn more about the community, would you like to sit with them? And she went back and arranged it. And the Hopes ate dinner with another couple.
Who was the other couple?
I don't remember.
Well, dadgum, Bart. we got to find out who the other couple was.
I think Gloria Christie knows the answer to that.
This is great. This is why we do radio.
We've got to have, somehow, we have to get the old clock in with the Mullins family up in the courthouse. That tree has seen Herschel Mullins running over there to fix the clock.
No kidding.
He and his son did this on a regular basis.
We know I don't know, Bart, that we can have people tell a story. It
would be
days. It would be like all day and into the night.
We'll do a camp out on the square.
I think so. Wow.
So all of this waiting for you. We don't know when that's going to be, though. It'll be fall.
We will make an announcement. People will want to be there to record it. I know you guys will want to be there.
Yes, we will.
As a matter of fact, make sure that you have an opportunity to be there and have your microphone and talk to people.
Are you going to really be up on the tree?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to be on the tree?
Am I going to be on the tree?
Yeah, we can, you know, arrange it where you're up there on a rope or something.
You know, I could actually, there's still the crotch. I could sit in the crotch.
Yeah.
The mayor is in the crotch of the tree.
I like that.
Something like that.
And we could give you a mic?
We're taking this too far, Bart. We'll give you the microphone. But I like the idea of anything we can do to bring this community together and celebrate the things that we all remember about this community that we can pass on to the next generation. And just as everything we do is for the next generation. That's what this tree is about. So I'm just kind of excited about how we do this and what we're going to do with it.
It will be more than you could put into a ceremony, but we should not cut it off. We should have the ceremony, but then maybe we should just have people drop by the archives building and record the memories that they have.
You're much more creative, right brain oriented. Now you're talking about creating a small
where we could actually have
studio
something.
Where people please come and record your story,
because you've got stories out there.
Yes,
wonderful,
a lot
stories.
Of them, and quite honestly, most of them I know have not been recorded, and they need to be recorded.
It blows my mind thinking that people all around the square, that tree would have seen this. People park their cars up there. Stores opened late on Saturday night. They came in from the rural areas, did their shopping, did their visiting. They didn't always have a place to sit and visit, so they'd just sit in the cars.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have their car, if a car was unlocked, they'd sit in that. Can you believe? And people loved it.
Wow.
That was a normal thing, sitting in everybody's cars.
That's right. That's a memory worth preserving, Bart.
And that's some of the beauty and love of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
It is. And that tree is symbolic of everything you just said. And more.
Yes.
Much more.
Well, I am looking forward to that.
We've kind of exalted this tree. But I want to make clear to the listeners, it's not the tree, it's what the tree represents that is so powerful. It's what the tree represents. It truly has stood firm. It has stood its ground, and after everything it's withstood, it has stood firm.
But the best thing is, we didn't just say goodbye, tree.
No.
And cut it down.
No, we preserved a legacy.
Wow. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Bart. This was good.
You have a super day.
God bless. God bless you, listeners.
Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro.